Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
This episode is sponsored by Rush, directed by top action filmmakers Corridor Digital. It's a story of soldiers fighting against all odds in a war-torn nation, starring Stephen Ogg of Grand Theft Auto V and Walking Dead, as well as starring Lou Ferrigno Jr. The first episodes are live and free on the Go90 app and their website, www.go90.com. Go check it out ASAP. Hello, Arrow fans. Welcome back to Season 5. We are covering Episode 2, The Recruits, and we will see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Never regret Aerosmith. Never regret Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Good night, everybody.
Yes. Oh, we are just getting started. Hello, AfterBuzz TV fans. Welcome back to the Arrow After Show. We are on Season 5. We're on Season 5, you guys.
It's crazy.
Holy cow. Episode 2, The Recruits. With me is the wonderful Tari J.
Hey, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
The incorrigible Lex Michael.
I am indeed incorrigible. That's what they all say about me. And you can find me all over social media at the Lex Michael.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Kiaxe. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. We have the hashtag ABTVArrow. We're going to have the live chat up in just a moment. So if you've got something to say, if you have any questions or comments, anything fun like that, put it in the live chat, throw in the hashtag. You may well get a shout out. I enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah.
I really did.
I did too. I'm very on board with a lot of the choices they've made over the first two episodes of this season.
They're doing a little better than The Flash right now in terms of who is making terrible decisions. Barry has somehow made the worst ones this season already.
Not a competition, Katie. Everyone is making bad
decisions.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. Usually the bad decision conga line is this show, and then it's like, nah,
but
take a look at The Flash.
It's becoming between Arrow and Flash, and certainly Legends of Tomorrow, saving the world despite making the most egregiously terrible decisions possible seems to be the defining trait of the CWDC block.
That's true, and Supergirl's just kind of like, yeah, we're cool, we're good, let's have some fun.
I'm real glad they're all going to cross over this year because, man, oh man, do they need Supergirl. Oh,
that yeah. is going to be completely insane, and I have no idea how they're going to work it, but I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Tari?
Yes?
You were saying something?
Oh, I did really enjoy this episode. I had been wondering how they're going to try to evolve Oliver beyond what he's already done, especially because last week we were talking about how he was regressing a little bit, but now having him be this leader character is really intriguing to me.
I'm still a little worried about the fact that he doesn't seem to have a middle area between don't kill anyone ever and murder everything that moves. Like, you don't have to kill everything, guys.
It does seem like, especially since we spent so much time in the preceding seasons arcing him out of that, to see him go so quickly back into I am going to kill everything I see, little bit jarring, but if the decision has been made and we are going to have to arc him back out of that again, then yeah, I agree. I think having him in the role of the teacher mentor figure is an interesting wrinkle to add to that.
I blame Flashpoint.
Yeah, you know, and we can. And we totally can.
We can blame everything on Flashpoint. That's what's wonderful and also very, very sad about the whole thing. Let's be completely real. But yeah, Oliver as a leader is both wonderful and terrible because Felicity got right to the heart of the matter. Oliver is the good leader. If you have two sides of this coin, Oliver is the good leader side.
Or the better
Arrow
leader.
Oliver, we talked about this a little bit last season. He's really good with crowds. He's really good with people. He's really good at just working people and working with people. The Arrow, not so much.
Sure.
The Arrow right. is when that I must be a hero and suffer on my own, oh, complex yeah. comes in.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, Oliver Queen had... sometimes boggles my mind how he garners so much trust, because he on the outside is this party boy who's just a pretty face, but like anyone who gets to know him knows that he's been through a lot of struggles. But at the same time, like, outside of rousing speeches, like, where is it that he builds his trust with people?
That's true.
I think somewhere, it's like, you know how sometimes you'll feel something about a person and you won't know exactly what it is, but it'll either draw you to them or repel you from them. I think everyone in this world is aware on some subconscious level that they're on a show called Arrow. And they have to build their existences in relation to what this man is doing.
Mmm.
Yes.
Well, and the other thing I'm thinking is the Queen family has been known in Star City for a while as a whole, and Oliver has been known as this playboy, as this pretty boy. He died for a while, he's getting better, etc. The point I'm trying to make here is Donald Trump is a presidential nominee.
Yeah. Sure is.
And so this is one of those things where, okay, he was a better choice for mayor than the homicidal maniac who tried to murder the entire world. People know him. People like him.
Sure.
He seems to be a good enough guy on the outside, if a little flighty.
Mm-hmm.
And he's better than literally everyone else we have.
And it's also
go with it.
And it's a nice public redemption story as well. You know, if you're afforded the opportunity to redeem yourself in the eye of the public, I think that's something that people enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree.
So, yeah, of course they're going to stick behind him because, one, they have no one else. Dear God.
They have no one else. Yeah.
And he cuts a pretty good figure. He's very charismatic. And they're down for that.
He can do the salmon ladder in the tailored suit.
Yes!
That was impressive.
That was pretty good.
I'm so glad they brought the salmon ladder back. And just Felicity going, that's hot. I mean, yes. Yes. Like, thank you for speaking for the audience. We love you. We do. Yeah, but Oliver as a leader, Oliver as the mayor, working over the CEO of Amertech, saying, yeah, we need you for this, we want you to do this, we will indemnify you, we'll just make sure that everything is okay, we need you to come and do this clinic. And then Oliver as the Arrow, just being terrible.
Weirdly, I was expecting the reverse. I was expecting him to be, if not wildly inept as mayor, at least to go through more noticeable growing pains than we're seeing him having to go through. It seems like, so far, he's really taken to this new position, whereas the Green Arrow identity is now the identity that he's having a hard time managing, which I think is interesting. I think that's an interesting reversal from the era where being Green Arrow was about all Oliver Queen could do.
Yeah.
Well, and Oliver also doesn't know how to teach. He's been through all of this stuff. People have taught him. He keeps saying, I went through hell for this. I went through hell for this. Well, he really did.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know how to pass that on to people who aren't stuck in a dead-end situation like he is. You go forward or die. All these people that he's training have other options than those two.
Yeah. And, like, for the mayoral stuff, it's all strategy, which is his forte. You know, it's all about tactics and figuring out the best way to maneuver your opponent or whomever your allies are. But for the Arrow, He can only see them through his own filter, which is, I must be better, so I must fight harder, I must be stronger, must suffer through pain.
Yeah.
So a lot of like, guys, this is very serious. Last week I got thrown out of a helicopter. Come on! Come on!
Well, and he's also obviously still blames himself for Laurel and the whole, I let her do this in the first place. Like, honey, she would have done it with or without you.
Right.
Like, at that point, you couldn't have stopped her. And it was, I didn't train her well enough, she didn't have enough experience, this is all my fault. And falling back on what we're starting to see of the Bratva training, which I've been looking forward to seeing Bratva stuff for a while.
We've been talking about it for 5 years, right? Give or take, yeah.
And Felicity bringing up, you never talk about your time in the Bratva, because the Bratva very much believes in, you don't use your own real name. You don't. Nobody knows anything about anyone before they became the Bratva. It's like a society of spies.
Yeah, really, really angry drunk spies.
They're very Russian. I have a terrible Russian accent. But the long and short of that is, if you have no connections, you have no loss. And Oliver, after living with that, came back, made connections, and all of a sudden one of his best friends slash lover since forever is dead, and unlike his other friend slash lover, ain't coming back.
And not only that, on top of that, he's had friends then decide to leave immediately after that. So he's dealing with a lot of loss, and he doesn't have the luxury of being able to sit and wallow in it like maybe the Oliver of seasons past might have been more inclined to do. I really like this idea of him training these recruits, the title of the episode. Applause, we all stand and cheer. They said
roll credits.
Here we go now. But I think him training this new team is a really great way to dramatize him working through the loss of his team without having to have him sit and go, oh, I feel really bad about this. You got to be thrown out of a helicopter again.
Again, must be Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. We get to see him actually go through this and go, something isn't right. This isn't Oliver. Even on his bad days, he's not telling people, you're useless, you're terrible, and you should be doing other things. Like, okay, Dad.
And Dad, see, that's the really interesting part of it, because this is Oliver learning essentially how to be a parent. And
yeah,
I'm
Team Dad!
And we know because it's TV and David Ramsey's a series regular, we know that John Diggle's not going to be off on his military mission forever. He's going to come back eventually. And I'm very much looking forward to if, hopefully, Oliver perseveres and he actually shapes this team and raises them like pups, as it were. I love the idea of Diggle
Wild
coming...
Dogs.
Wild Duck, yikes. Okay, that's it. That's it. We're going home.
Sweet. Good show, everyone.
Felicity made the greed joke. We're making the Wild Dog joke. Look at all the regrets that none of us have.
But I love the idea of Diggle coming back, him, a father himself, and him being much more disposed to paternal instincts, him coming back and then seeing that new version of Oliver. Like, I'm very much looking forward to that.
That means Dig gets to be the cool uncle.
Yeah.
I mean, though, he was the father figure to Oliver, so he could be Grandpa Dig, which
Granddaddy
is really
Diggle.
Even better.
I love it. I love it.
Yes, just all of this, yes. And it's interesting to watch someone who doesn't really know how to be a team, as in, you are these people I have to recruit, as opposed to, well, you're my bodyguard who found out about my secret, and you're my sister, and you're my friend since forever. Like, the only person who came in on this cold was Roy. And even then, we'd still kind of had some build-up for that. But these people are like, hello, strangers off the street, and Curtis, let's do this.
Roy, I like any time Roy is referenced, because it happens, it feels fairly infrequently, and tonight was absolutely wonderful.
Twice.
The beat of, but my favorite was the beat of, oh, the last guy I trained, I, you know, shot in
got
the,
an arrow in the leg
before
it even
started. Roy? Well, yeah, Roy, but I meant Wild Hog.
Yeah! And I'd forgotten that he did that to Roy.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Oh. And the whole, yeah, he shot Barry, too.
The pattern. And that's something else that I really like that you can't do with a show that's only been on the air for a year or two. We now have 4 years of stories that we can pull from, that we can reference, and it really does feel like, yes, we have history with these characters, but there's real history with each other that they can reference. And then me, as the audience member, I can go like, oh, I didn't know what they're talking about. This is fun.
Or like, I remember that. Or, oh, I didn't remember that. He totally shot Roy. Oh, my God.
This guy has some problems, man.
Which, I feel like that should be your first indication.
What, shooting people with arrows?
It's like, well, I'm going to shoot you and then I'm going to recruit you. It's a two-step process. We made it rhyme.
That's true. Actually, the pattern...
I enjoyed it very much.
The pattern really does seem to be, if Oliver Queen puts a couple arrows in you and then doesn't try to kill you or something else, like, you're probably going to be on the team at some point.
If he puts a couple arrows in you and then talks to you afterwards and it's not an interrogation, you're probably good.
Yeah, you're probably going to be a series regular.
Yeah!
So, Oliver Queen, if you're listening, I got two
nope,
good legs
nope,
right here.
No,
nope, no.
Nope. Please do not ask to be shot on air.
You know what happened to Laurel Lance. You go down to the pier,
you
look at that statue,
and I'm getting thrown out of a helicopter again.
I thought that...
Why is this guy always in helicopters?
He never is. They keep kicking him out of them. For what it's worth, I thought the statue line was actually really good.
I agree.
And again, we keep getting these indications of where Oliver is without him having to look at the camera like he's on The Office and say, I'm very sad. Like, we don't need that from him.
I really liked the way Laurel was invoked in this episode. If it is cheapened for me slightly, it is only because I remember what the statue looked like last week.
That was not a good statue.
It looks like a chocolate bunny.
And let's be real, that statue is going down by the end of the season.
Especially
let's
because...
Let's be completely real.
Because they're making such a big deal out of Laurel as a symbol. Yes, I agree with you. There's almost no way that symbol does not get very explicitly torn down at some point.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm betting mid-season at the earliest, but it's going to be a thing. That statue is going the way of the dodo.
What would be even better is if it came to life and then started fighting as Black Canary. So it's like... the steel canary or whatever, copper canary.
Bronze.
I like it. Yes,
bronze. Failing that, I want on a hot day to look at the statue and notice it dripping, and then people from all over town approach it and go, "This is chocolate," and they all share in the chocolate statue together. They hold hands and sing, and there is no crime in Star City ever again.
I feel like we're planning little, like, Arrow 4 coma. Little four-panel comics at the end of a manga that are just gags. I feel like that's what we have. We have Arrow 4 coma here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get on board with that.
I am absolutely down for that. And, God, someone in chat made the point, John Diggle Jr., a.k.a. Connor Hawk... Who yeah. we saw in...
I'm sorry. Whoa!
In Legends of Tomorrow!
Y'all, East Blue oh! Drew, you just blew my mind. Because
really?
We saw on Flashpoint oh! last night, John Diggle Jr. get retconned into existence.
Yes.
I didn't even make that connection. I'm not even ashamed to admit, like, the number of nerd red flags and fireworks going off in my head every night when I watch the CW now, I actually didn't make the connection that we just retconned in alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Neither did I, because I was so mad at Barry.
That's... Bravo, Berlanti.
Yeah.
You've done good.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, you guys would know that if you watch the Flash After Show Tuesdays at 10 o'clock p.m. here on AfterBuzz TV.
Plug harder.
I will.
I'm just waiting for all of our after shows to cross over when the four-part crossover happens.
Oh,
it's going to be
gonna
wild.
Happen.
It's going to be wild.
Time travel.
It's tradition at this point.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And isn't that exciting that they keep adding things to it so the crossovers get longer and longer, and in a couple of years we're going to have to sit on our couches for a month straight to get every piece of it?
I know, right?
I'm excited.
It's working better than the DC Cinematic Universe, so...
But sometimes they
smile. Low-hanging fruit.
Sometimes they smile. That's sometimes even Oliver Queen cracks a smile.
Low-hanging fruit.
You know who didn't smile much this episode?
Literally everyone else.
Keep going.
Ragman.
Woo!
Woo!
So...
I like Ragman a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't, but I do.
So he's introduced when we see this Ameritech guy... he's like handing money to him. The way the shot is framed, they're intentionally framing him behind a tree, so it did look for about 3 to 4 seconds like Homeboy was paying a tree for something.
Yes!
And then Ragman comes out, and it took me a little bit to figure out that was supposed to be Ragman, and then of course they start using it. As soon as they use the word rag, I was like, oh! Yeah! Google.
But I was definitely having is that the tree from Evil Dead? Because that sure looks like, okay,
Yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah! Evil Dead trees just never go well.
Yeah, so Robert Kaniger and Joe Kubert created Ragman in 1976, and it was his own book. It was Ragman number 1, which was, I believe, an August-September book. And Ragman's, he's a little bit like Ghost Rider. He wears what's called the Suit of Souls, and that's where he gets his power. And like Ghost Rider, it basically enables him to steal the souls of people who are guilty or unworthy. Big difference is he can then take that power that he absorbs and use it in combat later.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if he were to take down, say, the Punisher...
He'd be really good at shooting stuff?
Yeah. Or any...
Power osmosis.
A sort of meta-human, he would be... Like, so he's basically like Parasite in that he can steal their powers.
In theory.
Okay.
He's mostly Ragman's... He's a Gotham-based villain, so as a Gotham-based villain who looks like that...
Yeah.
Ragman's deal... is mostly looking super creepy and making people uncomfortable.
Oh, all
right. But his,
because Gotham, right? Yeah.
But it's interesting, they did touch on the fact that his family has passed the suit through, you know, generation to generation for centuries. And they touched on the fact that he's trying to fulfill his father's legacy in the way that he understands it. They touched on that tonight, which I thought was a nice nod to that.
Yeah, I actually liked that bit with Oliver connecting with him via, okay, our fathers did similar things. I have been screwing this up for years. We should maybe not do the thing. Can we, let's be friends. Let's be murder friends.
Right, okay. And so while I really appreciated the fact that, oh, we resolved this without hitting each other. We actually had a conversation and we shook hands at the end of it. And that's awesome. I know Oliver Queen is not the one to be giving anyone any guff about murdering people, but should somebody be giving Ragman, the vigilante murderer, some guff about the people he killed?
Nah.
The murder thing is going to have to be addressed at some point this season, because like I said, he started at 100, went to 0, and went immediately back to 100. Like, you got a whole bunch of numbers in the middle there, dude. You got to... Reel it in, dude.
And I guess it's a little bit wishful thinking because this isn't really the table where people judge each other for murder, I suppose, at this point.
No, it's not.
At this point, almost everybody has killed somebody.
Well, at this point, Melicity. I'm good at life, y'all. Felicity is still the moral center. I shoved those words together, and that's what I came up with.
Moralicity.
Yeah, I figured you were
shipping. Yes, I would like moralicity. That'd be great.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Please continue. I think we just kind of went...
I'm now stuck thinking that Melicity is Merlin and Felicity.
Oh, God. The ultimate ship. Nope.
I frankly ship John Barrowman with literally every fictional character.
As you should.
Yeah, John Barrowman.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yes.
I'm off track. I'm off track. I'm back on track. Yeah. All right.
Welcome back to the track.
but I think that it's a good opportunity for Oliver to show this guy how to not kill. I mean, and that could be what gets Oliver back on his not killing track. Because, you know, he needed a starting point, which is, I murder now. And now that he has a murder buddy, they can go sober.
Ivan Soto in the chat says Ragman never killed, which, okay, he wanted to, but he didn't. And who was it that put it up there? It skipped a few ones. Someone else in the chat brought up that the guy playing Ragman played David on Blindspot. I knew I'd seen him before. Thank you. Oh. He was the boyfriend that died on Blindspot last season, so he got horribly murdered by a Russian spy.
Spoilers.
And Ryan Ritalison says, but let's be real, Felicity has killed more people than Oliver and Ragman combined. The indictment of Felicity Smoke begins now.
Yikes. Alistair Allen, Felicity is the biggest killer in the DC universe. I'm like, I feel like there are some planet eaters in the DC universe that could,
trump that a little bit.
Just a little bit. But, yeah, no, she definitely has, what, 20,000 people under her belt, minus one?
I mean, though, it's
but
not like...
But she didn't want to.
Yeah, it's not like she was like, you know what I feel like doing today? Killing a few thousand people.
Wouldn't just going to murder swell? The world.
You know, it was a mistake. It was like the equivalent of her accidentally turning off the power in a hospital. Except, you know,
it's
it was
still
nuclear.
It's terrible, but it was an awful choice. Like, we can't stop the missile. We can just direct it to a less populated place. And there are still people there, but it's a nuclear missile with some range.
Yeah.
Pretty much no matter where you throw it, you're going to... Unless you're, like, in the wilds of Montana somewhere, and even then... Yeah.
Right now, someone in Montana's like, hey.
I used to live in Montana. They have nuclear missiles out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, fun stories about being an Air Force brat. If you live in a place where it's flat, the missiles are all underground.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's why they have so many Air Force bases in the Rocky Mountains in and around there. Like, they're either for training or the missiles are just out in the fields.
Hmm. Okay.
But so I want to go back a second because
so
the question is coming up in the chat a little bit about okay so let's say right Ragman apparently did not kill anybody in this episode, so let's even if it were correct, right, I still feel like
he murdered some mooks, didn't he?
If,
He just murdered the vice president of Amortech.
Yeah, I think he got. I think.
Oh, did he die? I thought he was in the hospital. Yeah.
On the.
I thought he suffocated.
No. The dude. He was in the ICU, but he wasn't dead.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So.
But he might have killed some mooks.
So, oh yeah. Point being though. This is not the Flash. They don't have this pipeline under their base. They don't have efficient means necessarily to combat a metahuman should he decide to go rogue. He's not technically a metahuman. It's a magic thing. But they don't really have a system in place to deal with him if they let him inside their house and he decides, you know what, I'm actually going to double down on the murdery stuff, as it turns out. We shook hands, but also I've got a magic rag suit.
They'd have to put him down.
Right, so I'm going like...
Or they'd have to call Barry and be like, hey, you wanna help?
Yeah.
I mean...
Start making up the karmic disparity between what you did at the beginning of the season and now.
But he is a man covered in rags, so you could just get some flint and let him go.
True, all right.
Fire! It's
flame arrows, I guess. But then, yeah, why not? It seems like it opens up... This is not... I was going to say this is not a good plan, but this is also Arrow. Right. So,
this is not a good plan. Must be Tuesday. Let's do this.
It is. It's an Arrow plan. And look, not for nothing, I really like what they did with Ragman in this episode. So if they want to keep him around, I'm totally on board. I just think maybe Oliver should talk that out with literally any other person that there is before he brings Ragman home.
Yeah, and let's be real. Ragman is eventually going to find out what happened and go after Felicity. Like, right. We all know it. It would, they'd be remiss if they didn't do it. Because that piece is there.
Yeah.
Especially if his driving motivation is the people that he lost, which they gave him a little bit of the Zemo motivation, which I thought was interesting and I appreciate it. But eventually, yeah. He's gonna draw a lot, especially if they let him into the cave. He's eventually gonna be like, wait a minute, you guys talking about the same missiles I'm talking about. That's super, what'd you say? And then it's going to get real uncomfortable for everybody.
Oh, you aimed it at my city. You decided we were all expendable. That's great.
We did it for the greater, the helicopter again?
Especially since...
The greater good.
I didn't even know we had a helicopter here. Anyway, Ragman.
Huh. Ragman. Yeah,
good villain.
An
anti-hero villain?
I guess so.
I mean, he's got a list and he's killing people off of it. That's what our protagonist did for a season. We can't exactly sit here and be like, that's wrong.
Yeah. No one's judging.
Because even Alton Oliver do this for years. Actual years.
Yes.
So,
at least.
At least four. And now he's back to murdering people. Actually, I think at this point we've had at least 7 years given flashbacks.
That's true.
We've had a lot of time.
Do we have... There's going to be one eventually, I'm sure, but is there a kill count video for Oliver Queen yet anywhere?
I don't know. Has anyone made one? If anyone has a kill count for Oliver Queen, if anyone has a video, if anyone has a spreadsheet, like, put that in the hashtag, ABTV Arrow. Put that in there. We want to see this.
Yeah, and if it's
we
not out there already, if anyone wants to make it, I can't offer to pay you, but you will have my eternal respect. I will be very impressed.
See, I really want someone to do an Overwatch play of the game thing with him just, like, taking out a whole bunch of Oliver Queen play of the game.
Oh, yep. Man. So...
Tell me that wouldn't be wonderful.
Oh, I'm completely on board. I'm going to get lost in this reverie in a second.
Good times and great oldies. So we've hit Amortech, which has evidently also made a deal with Church, which is not good.
Yeah.
And that you brought up earlier, before the camera started rolling, we were talking about this, because we just can't stop talking about the show, you guys, that we thought it was going to be a few more episodes before Church became completely obsolete.
I assumed we would get to at least mid-season, and then he would be usurped by a greater threat. I didn't realize that by the end of episode 2, it was going to be established very, very clearly that, yes... Tobias Church is dangerous. In the grand scheme of this season, he is far from the most dangerous.
Honestly, I would love to see Prometheus just kind of hanging around, being a jerk to everyone, but not actually becoming the villain until next season.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I'm super curious about what they do with Prometheus this season, because there are three different versions of a character called Prometheus in DC Comics. The one I'm most familiar with was created by Grant Morrison in the 90s, and this doesn't seem like he's that guy. So I'm going to, like, wait till we get a little bit further in before I mean, maybe there's a news piece about it, like, it's specifically based on this one. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see if I can put these pieces together by myself, and then I'll talk to y'all about...
Yeah, he's like the anti-Arrow. He's dressed up like him, but he's just like, murder... Wait, no, that's not the anti-Arrow anymore. Yeah,
so he's like the Arrow.
Yeah, he's pretty much just Green Arrow with a bigger mask.
It's Bizarro Arrow. It's Bizarro.
Bizarro.
I guess I wasn't here for that conversation. So do you guys actually feel like Church has been taken down a peg? I feel like this would motivate him more to essentially take out all hooded / vigilante-y kind of characters just so he can guarantee that he takes out, like, he can take over the city.
It may force him to be more creative, and it may force him to bring back other villains that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
Our other one-offs who aren't dead, they're just kind of in prison somewhere. We've got a trickster hanging out somewhere. Was that Flash?
Yeah, that was Flash.
But we can always bring back Murmur. Murmur's so good.
Murmur.
Yeah.
Sure. Uh-huh. Double Down.
Oh, yes.
Out there.
I miss Double Down.
I wouldn't mind.
Captain Boomerang.
Sure.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind, like,
I'm in that.
King Shark coming over for a little while. Why not? That would be great. But I really,
Landshark, Telegram.
Yikes. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by it, because it does seem like, yes, maybe it will motivate him to go after all hoods or whatever. Wasn't he going to have to do that anyway, though?
Yes, but, like, I don't think he ever really saw Arrow as a threat. Like, every time Arrow had come about, he was just like, yeah, I got to deal with you. Or he's laughing, you know? But now I think he really is antagonized by people who have hoods and shoot arrows. So I think that, like, that will just make him a more hostile villain. Like, I guess this is more my bias in that I want my bias for Tobias, but I really want
your
him...
Tobias bias?
Yes. Because, like, he is a good counter to Oliver being mayor, you know?
Yes.
Whereas, like, having another Dark Archer-type character, we've seen it, but we haven't seen someone who is really tactical and really able to take over the city in the way that he has the potential to.
That's true.
Yeah, it is a little bit like the Archer characters. It is becoming a little bit like on Flash. It's like, oh, he's fighting another fast person again. It's just like him again. Mm-hmm.
So many. So many speedsters for days.
But
Archer is a little more common than super speed.
Just fair.
Generally speaking.
Fair. You don't need the chemicals and the lightning, I suppose. You just need to train for some time.
A little bit.
5 years in hell and come back and be something else, be someone else. But I really like...
I love that they brought that up.
Oh, yes.
I love that Oliver said that. I love that he is self-aware of his own opening monologue at this point.
He is now
God
Oliver
bless.
Queen. Mayor Queen is now a CW pitch person, which is exciting. Very meta. The Tobias Church thing, I just wanted to piggyback, Tari, on what you were saying. It's like, I agree with you as far as him being... a fresher counterpoint to Oliver. But also, we talked last week about whatever it is, this magical thing that Chad Coleman is doing with this performance, where a lot of people know him as Tyrese from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Going back even further, as Cuddy on The Wire.
Yeah.
And he brought so much to both of those roles, but those roles demanded a fairly similar skill set from him. This is so... not that, and watching Chad Coleman go so over the top and just chew as much scenery around him as he possibly can was my favorite thing about the premiere. So my only hope is that this doesn't impede any of his scenery chewing.
Right.
And if anything, only serves to further it.
It's like seeing a character get revealed as Ghostface in any of the Scream franchises. Suddenly it's like, oh, is it my time? Scenery!
Yes.
All of them. To a T.
It's like, if you'd been talking like this earlier, we would have solved this mystery like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like the auditions for any and all Scream franchises is, okay, do this, do this, do this, and then we need you to read this monologue in your best crazy scenery-chewing ghost face reveal moment. Go. I feel like everyone can do that.
Yeah.
But that's a different show entirely. I think we have a few things that we haven't quite touched on yet, like Diggle.
Like, yeah, who's doing
his... Who now has a son.
Yeah, and he's doing some weird military adventure off in the desert where he's being framed by some not very nice people.
Yeah. You know, I just finished watching Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sitting here going, they're two different franchises. I need to stop.
Well, I had this moment when they first said Ammertech. I was like, Hammertech?
Right?
And it was not.
No.
No.
I was thinking, like, Ameritech, I think, is something that exists in real life.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That rings a bell.
That's also a thing, but... Poor Diggle, he and his unit are being sent out to retrieve nuclear something or other from Chechnyan rebels. I had to write that down because I knew I was not going to remember it. And then it turns out, lo and behold, it's a betrayal the whole time, and his CO is just going to frame him for it. And here's your thing, do you want to sign your confession? And, well, all of the people who would believe you are dead.
Diggle turns to the camera, I've made a huge mistake.
It's like, so we're going to frame you, and good luck with your court-martial. Like, oh god, I just finished watching Luke Cage.
But so, okay, so I want to ask you guys, this side story, which seems to have, at least at this point, almost no tangible connection to anything else that's happening, how invested were you guys in this side story tonight?
I was in it.
Okay.
I was in it to win it. It's an interesting thing to do for Diggle. Especially since he's been closer to the lawful spectrum for the longest time on the show than all of these other vigilante kids that he's trying to raise who are just running off and doing their own thing all the time and murdering tons of people.
Sure.
Yeah.
So for a guy like that, who puts the chain of command, who puts the military in esteem, who believes in the system, to have his brother, whom he would hope would believe in the system as well, be a traitor... And then be betrayed again by his commanding officer. Just, I feel bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, and I guess, agreeing with that and furthering it a little bit, in that I also, I felt terrible because that's his sanctuary. He left there because he was feeling like that was the only place he could be himself. And to have it turn on its head is a bummer. But I kind of get... what I think you're getting at, in that, to me, in terms of tone and in terms of the episode as a whole, it almost felt like a flashback, but they're talking about recent things.
Yeah.
My concern with it is not so much what we saw tonight, because I agree, what was presented tonight worked well enough within the context of this episode. My concern is that if potentially we're going to continue to spend big chunks of time with Diggle on his side journey until he eventually comes back, my concern would be, much like we see with the flashbacks, it's very easy to get stuck and wheel spin for episodes and episodes at a time.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, for one, you need to bring people back stateside to court-martial them. Especially for acts of what in this case is probably counts as treason. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big deal. So, they'd have him back in the States in some capacity, and then at that point we just wind up with crossover. Like, it'll happen, Oliver will find out what happened, and they'll take a field trip to D.C. or just something. I don't think he's going to be stuck overseas for too much longer.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll bust him out of whatever military prisons he's in, and he's like, I'm Spartan the whole time, forever! And that's his big struggle.
He's like, where's my helicopter? And all of his, like, no more helicopters.
It's going to loop back in eventually. It'll happen. I don't think they're going to take too terribly long with it, otherwise they would have... spent a lot more time building it up as opposed to, yeah, we're in episode 2 out of 23, 24,
sure.
Usually.
Yeah.
You've already been betrayed! Yay!
Right.
But I will say, just aside from it being a little left of the main story, it did plant a really interesting seed in that Genesis has sparked this fear worldwide about, like, what people are capable of and what the potential of all these specials and weapons and things like that have and against mere humans.
So it's a little bit like the DC TV universe's Sokovia.
pretty much.
Which makes total sense, because it actually...
It was a world-ending event.
And you can draw a direct line to Ragman's motivation, actually. There's a one-to-one in the MCU for that. I'm excited.
Yeah, so
that made me happy.
Yeah, so that makes a heck of a lot of sense. And I mean, everyone knows about Central City and its metahuman. There we go. I watched four different shows today, and they all had different terms for powered people. I'm just like, I can't. They're not inhumans. It's something else. I am in the wrong franchise tonight. But everyone knows about Central City and their metahuman problem, and eventually we're going to be bringing Superman and Supergirl into the fold, and that's going to be aliens!
Right.
And it just, in the span of about 5 years, the world has just gone completely insane!
Yeah.
And so it's like, you've been in the military for forever, you think you can handle all this stuff, you've seen it all, you're fine, and then all of a sudden it's like, nope, some dude with magic sent off a global nuclear attack, and it's by the grace of God and a couple of really good hackers that we're not all dead. I can't handle this.
It'll be really interesting to see as they continue to expand the world and to link the different pieces of this world more and more closely together. It will be interesting to see how much perspective we get on some of these massive events from people maybe closer to street level on other shows who weren't necessarily there for it, but would be affected by it if they lived in this world.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see how they fold Legends into it.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a thing, and we're not quite sure how, but there will be a four-part crossover in the future.
And the future.
Yeah. The actual future and the in-character future. All right. Yeah, do we want to talk a little more about the Brava?
I'm not...
We're back to incorporating the flashbacks really well again.
Yeah, I'm really liking what they're doing. I'm also really liking stylistically what they're doing. I think these flashbacks, just visually on a technical filmmaking level, look a lot better than flashbacks we've gotten in the past. That excites me, and I like what they're doing. I don't feel like there's a ton to say about it other than, I mean, we saw where he gets the bell exercise from, and we also see...
Naruto.
From Naruto. Yes.
I was going to go with Halo, because that was also how they started training Spartans. That's what you learn when you read the books.
And, you know, we see how in the present, Oliver's goal is to teach his team to work together, and the Bratva's goal seems to be, well, whoever figures out that that's the point first is the one that gets to live. Congratulations, Oliver.
And I love that they did that, because, you know, you set it up as a teamwork exercise, and in the present day, Oliver's trying to set it up as a teamwork exercise, because that's what worked, and as the audience... We see that that's the point in the present, and then we go back to the past, and it's like, oh, teamwork, oh, it worked, oh my god. Okay, that escalated quickly, because they just like, oh, congratulations, Oliver, kill everyone else. Okay, what was the point of that?
I'd like to imagine that was Oliver's plan, too.
He's just secretly a mastermind. Yeah,
he's like, let it be Curtis, let it be Curtis.
You're terrible, but also that's really funny. We're back into four coma territory.
Did we want to...
have a lot to explain to Felicity after this, aren't I? Yeah.
Did we want to touch on Quentin possibly having a new job?
Yes, I forgot to put him on my whiteboard. Thank you. I'm kind of surprised that Thea didn't know that he'd fallen off the wagon.
She started guessing at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is also a really jolly drunk. I'm not going to, like... Every time you see him, he's not, like, super sad. He's just like, oh, I messed up. Oh, shucks.
That is someone who is drunk, trying really, really hard not to look like they're drunk.
Mm.
Been there, done that. On both sides.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just really like Paul Blackthorne. I think he's a tremendous actor.
Yes.
And I think we've talked about on this after show seasons past, it felt like it took the show a little while in the early seasons to figure out what... to do with him, and even once they figured it out, it does seem like what they do with him seems to change on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah.
But I actually now really enjoy that, because it means every year I get to see Paul Blackthorne do a slightly different Quentin Lance, and I actually genuinely like it.
Yeah. No, I think he really enjoys that, too. And I not to get prediction-y, but I would love, now that he is the deputy mayor, once Oliver fails at his whole mayor thing, I would love Quentin to take that role and that be his reason for, like, not drinking anymore.
And I love that Thea was the one to come up with it, and I like seeing her. We get her in the administrative capability. And we, John in the chat's like, Katie drunk, no. Like, honey, you don't know me. I'm Irish. But
she's drunk right now.
I am not, actually. I am stone cold sober. I've just had a really long week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I also completely lost what I was saying. It's good to see Thea on the admin side and see her trying to live a normal life and going, no, I don't want to do this vigilante thing. I'm not abandoning you as a person, but I am done with this vigilante thing. And still seeing her use her vigilante training to spy on the CEO of Evertech and go places she's not supposed to be. And it's like, yeah, you can take the girl out of Nebraska, but...
Yeah, absolutely. She can't... I mean, maybe it's only me, but I assume literally every team member that moved away that isn't dead is going to come back at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how, and even whether they track Thea struggling with that. Because we spent so much time with Thea on her struggle about, well, do I commit to this life? Do I not commit to this life? Can I handle all the violence? Can I not? Do I like the violence? Do I not? I'm not necessarily eager to see them retread that same ground, but I'm curious to see where we go from here.
Yeah. And it's good for her to get a break from the violence and the being manipulated and the being brainwashed and being nearly murdered and that, like, she got the short end of the stick a lot over the past 3-4 years of her life.
And it's nice to see that she's really seems good at this new job.
Yeah, she's adjusted extremely well.
So there's a part of me that almost, even though I know it's inevitable, almost doesn't want to see her go back to the other life because it's not good for any of them, you know what I mean? So there was that moment where we see her jumping over the rooftops where I'm like, A, that's very impressive. B, no, don't, go back inside.
Well, I mean, Olivia wants to know what we think of Felicity's new boyfriend. He exists.
Yeah.
I'm sure we got his name at some point, but I never actually caught it.
Billy Malone.
I'm impressed.
It was on a phone screen tonight.
Okay.
And then I remember somebody brought it up.
I'm still impressed because I missed it.
Somebody brought it up last week, and I was like, Malone, haha, matches something, something. Because Batman disguises himself as matches Malone when he has to talk to, like, a criminal. And puts on a mustache and shades. It's great.
I didn't know that, and I'm so happy. I learned something new.
No clue if this is an intentional nod to that, but with the number of very broadly winking and also far more subtle nods to all eras of DC Comics, I would not be surprised.
Well, and they keep bringing up Bloodhaven. Supergirl straight up name dropped Gotham last night.
Yes.
Monday night. What is time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Construct, really.
All right. So, speaking of time, I think we're starting to run a little short on that. You were saying a thing?
Oh, I don't trust her new boyfriend.
Oh, no. Never trust the new boyfriends. They're always evil or brainwashed.
Yeah.
But that's usually Thea's thing, so we'll see.
Yeah. How long do you guys think until she introduces him to the family?
Another couple episodes, give or take.
All right.
The question is whether it's going to be the, here's my new boyfriend, or he's dying, save him.
I feel like it's always going to be the he's dying, save him. Or what I would like to see even more than that is I'd like to see them have to deal with a crisis. And because her new beau is with the police, for him to be an active participant in helping make the situation better.
Is her new boyfriend one of the officers that's in the crime initiative?
I feel like he is.
If he's not, he could be dirty. So that will be, and Alistair Allen in chat says, well, it just scrolled under the soundboard. Would you mind moving the soundboard, please?
Billy Malone.
Something Billy Malone is going to be the head of the corrupt cops in the SCPD.
And Cullen Prime says her new boyfriend is Prometheus. So that would be that would be so sad for her.
That would be terrible and also incredible, and I kind of want that now. I will adopt that headcanon up until the point till the series says it isn't so.
Is breaking up with number one on the call sheet and then dating the series, then dating the season's big bad, is that trading up, trading down, or is this not something I should think about so much?
That's hilarious is what that is. That is funny.
I think it's trading up.
Yeah. Oh, that was rhetorical.
It's rhetorical, you say, as you point at him, implicitly demanding an answer.
I just wanted to see what he would do.
Thank you for that. Okay, I think we are starting to run a little short on time.
Yes.
It's getting a little late. Chat, if there's anything that we missed, if there's anything you want us to bring up, now is a good time to talk about it because we've got about that minute or so delay. In the meantime, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes, and my iTunes display went away, so I need to fix that.
iTunes.
Yes.
I've heard of that.
iTunes. Yeah. It's the thing, and it's wonderful, and thank you guys. Thank you so much to everyone who goes onto iTunes, who subscribes to our podcast, and who rates it, and who leaves a comment. We love you all. And that is how you keep us on the air as a podcast. You go in, you find it, you subscribe, you leave 5 stars or however many stars. We appreciate an honest opinion, but you know we love you. And you leave a review. Because what happens is our producers go in and they read these reviews and they go, you know, people really like this Arrow After Show. We should keep it. And then we get to stay on the air and you get to listen to us talk ad nauseum and make ridiculous jokes. Because that's obviously what you're here for, right? The puns?
Yeah.
Just weird scenarios involving Oliver Queen and a series of helicopters.
So many helicopters. 400 helicopters. And if you leave a review, we read it on the air. We have Arrow Season 5 from Garen Damteed, where I like that. You are good. I like your name. You guys really shucked that vegetable joke last season down to the root. What, too corny? Anyway, welcome back.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, seriously, please, if you search AfterBuzz Arrow, we are the first and only thing that comes up. Subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. You get it read on the air. We adore you, and you help us keep on the air. Live chat went away.
Oh.
Because we're done, I suppose.
Because we're being played off. We are finished.
Here comes the giant cane.
Well, we kind of interspersed our predictions in there, so I think that might have to be good enough. We're getting Samson next episode.
That's exciting.
Which should be fun and interesting.
Yeah.
And before we go, I just wanted to let you guys know that we are sponsored this week. This episode is sponsored by Rush. It is directed by top action filmmakers Corridor Digital. It's the story of soldiers fighting against all odds in a war-torn nation, so you know exactly what we've been watching. Starring Stephen Ogg of Grand Theft Auto 5 and The Walking Dead, as well as starring Lou Ferrigno Jr. The first episodes are live and free on the Go90 app and their website, go90.com. Go check it out ASAP. It sounds like if you like Arrow, you're going to like this. Like, this sounds like a good time.
For sure.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. Tari, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Tari J. It's TauriJay.
And I am all over social media. Where's my camera? I am all over social media at The Lex Michael. Guys, Legends of Tomorrow starts tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about it at 10 p.m. And please, come join us for that every single week. And also, starting next week, I am on the Supergirl panel with Tari Miller.
Woo!
I'm taking over your block like I'm Tobias Church. That was Tari's joke. I stole that from him. So please, come check us out.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime. And I basically live in the studio. Z Nation on Mondays. Crunch Time is also starting week to week on Mondays. Star Wars Rebels Tuesdays. Here Wednesday night. Blind Spot on Thursdays. Ruby is starting up again. We are going to do the first after show the first week of November. That's going to be on Thursdays. It's going to be great. You can follow Ali Kona at BoysandBeauty01. Follow her. She's wonderful. She should be back next week. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.